The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer, live from Bar Canada at the D. And Kelly is going to have his NBA alternate season win totals thoughts a little later on the show. I am very excited.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. In the NBA guide, out now. Get it at VSiN.com.
Slash subscribe. Or no, VSiN.com slash.
So get it at VSiN.com.
Okay.
If you go there, you'll find it.
New York Mets 16. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. New York Mets 16. So Matt Brown is going to finally try the field goal on Friday the 13th.
Do you know how much planning and scheduling Spooky. I've been doing for this? And I never put together that it was Friday the 13th we were doing it on. That is pretty interesting.
Yeah. By the way, tons of tweets on all kinds of subjects. And again, a couple of them, like Cleve TA was brought into one, like, oh no, Gil took Washington and Survivor. I would have provided him with this. Again, it's like, we're gonna disagree on this forever. I get it. Some people would just like to survive. That ain't how I play the game.
It's also like one of the ultimate, I mean, almost anything we say on here, when it comes to bets or whatever, yeah, we'll try to give you advice. At the end of the day, it's advice.
You play it however you want to play it. That's exactly
it's
right.
Your money. I'm not going to tell you how to bet it.
Don't let me influence you. Because, yeah, like Scotty B, he's like, I respectfully disagree. I'd rather survive. I'm like, that wasn't my circumstance. Because my circumstance with my two remaining entries happened to be the Chalky McChalkerson ones. So, again, and I'll say it one more time. If I had taken Miami or Detroit, which were the two obvious plays to make, Detroit has Thanksgiving considerations. Also, the week before Thanksgiving, you might need Detroit. Miami, I was going to need them next week anyway. So for me, there really wasn't a choice. And again, it's not the people then immediately toggle to, oh, you didn't see that they might have lost this game. Are you kidding me? I'm a Washington fan. I saw this years before you were even born with Washington. So that's just how it is. And you have to be, again, OK with that moving forward. It's funny how some people react to it. Everybody's so nice about it, too, because a lot of people are like, oh, I hope you didn't do it. So thank you to everybody for that. Scheman A. Smith, what percentage of the Survivor pool would you guess had the Commanders last night? It's a great question. I'm going to guess that I would imagine they'll be the third highest pick, just like they were in terms of the point spread. I don't know that they'll be more than that, but I would think they'd be the third highest. Someone sent me something where they were a massive percentage of theirs.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's near.
You think more than third highest?
35-40% of the pool.
Yes, I would agree with that. It's funny, though. It's one of those things, too, because, I'll use my buddy Tommy in D.C., who he was doing his own, where he's like, I can't do it. I have to take my, like, again, he'd rather just still be alive for one more week or whatever. He doesn't even look ahead. Next week, he's going to come and he goes, oh, man, I can't use Miami. I used them already.
I mean, to put myself in those people's shoes for a minute, yeah. I've done Survivor for three straight years now. Yeah. I don't think I've made it past week six or week five. Right. So, you know, maybe if I wanted to get a little bit more bang for my buck on the action, I should start doing that. But, yeah.
Hey, listen, it, like you said, but I'm like, at the end of the day, it's just advice. You do you.
Yeah, but I feel like I've approached it a lot like you do, and it's trying to play it all optimally, at least in my mind, throughout the course of a season. If you make it through 5 weeks, that's great, but that's not the goal of what you're trying to get done here.
Yep. Let's continue with the game, shall we? Before we get back to all the other stuff.
Yeah, Ravens at Steelers.
We got Dr. Bob coming up to talk college football. Jason Weingarten on baseball as well. Ravens at Steelers. I did not have a play here. Kenny Pickett looked like he was not going to be available for this. Looks like he's going now in this game.
It does, and it looks like he's going with a knee brace out there. So for anybody like me who is on Baltimore, I'm feeling pretty good about this one, and I might be adding to the Baltimore side a little bit. It looks like it will be Pickett with a knee brace going, which I think is the worst possible outcome you could have had, of, you know, between a healthy Kenny Pickett, healthy Mitch Trubisky, or roll out Kenny Pickett with a bum knee with a brace on it. I feel like that is about the worst thing to steal.
That's a lot of these teams have to make that assessment, right? Like the Bengals last week was a compromise Joe Burrow better than Jake Browning? Maybe he was.
And we'll get to that game, obviously.
What does that say about Jake Browning?
Yeah, he's had weird quotes this week, too, about like this is the best he's felt and stuff. Baltimore, though, Baltimore injury side of things, they're getting a lot of these guys. I won't say a lot because they have a lot of injuries, but you're getting some of their important guys back to practice. So it looks like, Odell Beckham Jr., who else? Marlon Humphrey. A lot of these guys could end up going this week that we haven't seen in a couple weeks. So I am on Baltimore. I laid the 4 points. I know there is some crazy stat out there of when Ravens Steelers meet and it's more than 3 or something like that. The dog is covered 99.9% of the time, basically. Yeah. But yeah, I'm laying the 4 heading into Pittsburgh. I don't trust the Steelers offense at all.
There's also that stat the week after you play the Ravens in this game or something like that.
It's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cincinnati at Arizona, which is the one that I was incredulous about on guessing line. Cincinnati now 3. This got to 2.5 during the show yesterday and immediately bounced back to the 3. We had a spirited discussion about this on the Megapod. By the way, the Megapod is so good this week with Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. We got into all kinds of different discussions on this. By the way, can I just read you two Megapod tweets real quick?
Yeah.
And then you can, because I don't even know if these are compliments at the end. This one is from Just to Follow Veasan. Maybe the most ADD pod I've listened to yet, and it's been years of Megapods. Great, still great. I just wondered if I accidentally skipped 30 seconds sometimes with all the weaving in and out of subjects. It was like Red Zone Megapod today. Which I like. And then this was from, where is the other one? Well, I'll find the other one coming up. But someone said, Grateful Mouse, since recreational marijuana became a thing here in Maryland, the Megapod podcasts have been epic. So I don't know if those are compliments at all. But anyway, we had just figured I need them.
That is great.
So I don't know. Eric Eager, we got into all kinds of discussions. I'll talk to you about the Eagles, which I teased earlier. But in this one, like, he really believes that the Cardinals are the quintessential play really well, but just enough to lose team. And then once like midseason hits, they're going to
fall off a cliff
and they're going to have the number one pick, he says.
Wow. Okay.
How about that?
All right.
Might be right.
I was going to ask, I wanted to hear what Eager had to say about it. Cause I mean, look, there's a lot of things that are tough to explain right now with the Cardinals, right? Like that is, we've talked about like, this is amazing what they're doing. I can't really explain it. I can't explain how a backup quarterback walks in, 7 weeks ago, picks up a clipboard and operates this offense as smoothly as he does. You and I are both on the Cardinals side. What do you have 3.5?
I have plus 4.
You have 4? Oh, you have 4.
While we were doing that segment, it was still available. One spot.
I have 3.5. I thought Drew's take on this game was great. When we had him on Tuesday, I went back in. My bigger bet in this game is under 45. There's 44.5, 45 available. I like that actually better than even than the Cardinals side. I think that one could... There's multiple paths to that getting home. So that's actually my biggest bet of the week is the under in this game.
Under.
I'm not a huge total score.
Your Oppo Dr. Bob, by the way.
Oh, great.
Let me tell you what, not to regurgitate the entire Megapod, I urge everybody to go listen to Beating the Book after those wonderful endorsements, that I just gave. Philadelphia at the Rams. So Philadelphia is a 4-point favorite. A lot of people are like, oh, why is that so low? Eager had a very interesting opinion about the Eagles.
Okay.
Eager about the Eagles. And by the way, Philadelphia fans, again, I'm just the messenger on this. Don't go crazy because I already refer to their Super Bowl win as Super Bowl win using replay rules from the future, which they don't like. But Eager's point was this. He goes, and I, by the way, I have the Eagles power rated 6th. So of the elite 6, they are my bottom one.
Yeah, and I think I dropped him to 5.
Okay. So his point is, let's go back to last year, he says, where they famously just lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. He said, name me the best team they beat. And the answer is week 1 against the Detroit Lions. His point is that when they beat Dallas, Cooper Rush was playing quarterback. And obviously when they beat the Niners in the playoffs, it was the Brock Purdy, Josh Johnson, everybody got hurt game, which you can't really assess at all. And then this year, if you go through those 4 games, they're 4-0. And yes, they've banked the wins. But if you go through the Eagles' 4 victories, you can kind of... look at each of them and be like, oh, I don't know. New England the first week. Remember, they got out to the lead via turnovers and then held on for dear life.
Yep.
Minnesota, they won by one score, and that was the game where Justin Jefferson fumbled it through the end zone, which, again, we had a whole discussion about that stupid rule.
Which, and you know, you look back now, New England's offense is absolutely terrible.
Yes.
And Minnesota's defense is absolutely terrible.
Then they beat Tampa Bay, and people would be like, oh, they beat Tampa Bay by two touchdowns. Remember, until late in the first half, that game was nip and tuck. Yep. And then
Jalen
Hurts hits, I can't remember who it was, A.J. Brown, I want to say, with a touchdown. Maybe it wasn't A.J. Brown, but at the end of the first half. And then Washington, remember, they if Terry McLaurin is correctly ruled in bounds in overtime, maybe they lose that game.
Yeah.
So anyway, his point, and he said, he's like, think about it. Kirk Cousins came back on him. Sam Howell came back on him. He said last year, he goes, think about it, like guys like James Bradbury, they got like such outlying great performances from certain people on the Eagles. Anyway, all of that to say, he actually doesn't think this line is out of whack. If anything, it's not. I'm just paraphrasing. But that was his take on the Eagles, which I thought was an interesting way to put them in context. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's one of the many topics we get into on the Megapod.
I think it's a great discussion. I think it's been one of the interesting storylines early on in the year, right? Is the Eagles team, this Eagles team is undefeated. How good really are they?
Yeah.
I think that is a real question. Comes out of this game, this is one that's a pretty easy pass for me. I think this line is pretty accurate. I mean, you play the whole 3 points for home field. I mean, which I don't know, we should be doing that in L.A. But if we do that and flip it back to Philly, you're talking about Philly laying 10 against the Rams at home. Like that feels aggressive. Cooper Kupp looks like he will be back
Cooper
and Kupp playing
will be
in
back.
This game. Yeah. So anybody looking at the Rams here, I don't hate it.
Sean McVay's dream of sabotaging Puka Nacua's season is in full effect now.
Yeah, I guess I lead a little to the Eagles side, but this is a complete pass for me.
Why wasn't Puka Nacua targeted the same way in games 3 and 4 as he was in games 1 and 2? It for those of us who have Nacua tickets, we're like, what are you doing? We'll get to the rest of those games and Kelly's alternate season win totals. But next, Dr. Bob, he's got a college football play and a pro football play. And once again, we are Oppo. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring up-to-date previews at all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategeries, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel. The Jonathan Von Model, if you will. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And Kelly, once again, will have thoughts on alternate season win totals, a piece that he had in the betting guide. We'll talk about it here on the show today.
Yep. Yeah, that did that in a bit. Wrote up live betting strategies. Went through a bunch of the guide last night. A lot of great work from everybody involved. Zach Cohen,
yeah.
Adam Burke, obviously JVT doing a ton. 25 team previews in that thing.
I did bet Scoot +460 to win Rookie of the Year.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, good Rookie of the Year article in there by Zach. That's
nice.
I think kind of went that way. So I like.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. This man knows a thing or two about the NBA, about college basketball, about college football. He knows a thing or two about everything. From Dr. Bob Sports and drbobsports.com, it's Dr. Bob Stoll, everybody. How you doing, Bob?
Well, I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
I'm doing very well. By the way, Carl Sack Guru is still doing your NBA, correct? Yes.
I suppose so.
Okay.
All right. We're sort of on a year-to-year basis. He just lets me know like a week before the season starts whether he's in or out. And
he is spectacular, by the way. He is spectacular, really. He's just one of the best in anything, I would say, Carl Sack, NBA guru. So hopefully he is with you again. How has your college football season gone, sir, so far?
Well, I am down, and a lot of it is, and you've been on these, a lot of it's like, just like the other night, I had a 3-point favorite, Middle Tennessee State. They outgained Jacksonville State by 155 yards and 1.6 yards per play, had a 23-7 halftime lead, and then turnover, like, easy touchdown, like, what are you supposed to do when you pick teams that outgain their opponents by 155 yards and they're favored by three and they don't win the game? And we had, you know, Louisiana Lafayette against Buffalo giving up, defensive touchdowns and onside kicks and not covering it. I've had four of those games and I've had one lucky win. So right now the luck has not been on my side, but if I keep, you know, handicapping the way I've been, I think it's all going to work out. But right now I'm down and hoping the luck will turn around, or luck, if the luck is just neutral, I'm going to win. So right now it's been a little bit against me.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a fair assessment. What do you got in college football? You like one play specifically for us?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of plays this weekend, but one that I thought was, well, still in range. A lot of them moved out of range after I released them, but I like Rutgers getting the points against Wisconsin. I mean, general rule for double-digit conference favorites with big totals is, I mean, with low totals is, you know, points are worth more when the total's low, and just the general rule is double-digit conference road underdogs are 61% against the spread when the over-under total is 46 or less. That's a big sample, 223, 143, and 16. And that's a simple trend that makes sense. Double-digit conference road dogs, 61% against the spread when the total is 46 or less. That's not why I'm betting Rutgers here. I just think Wisconsin's an overrated team. The new coaching staff, the defense has not been very good. The offense seems to be okay, but it's really not. They've averaged 6.2 yards per play, but they faced a group of teams that would allow 6.2 yards per play to an average team. And their defense has not been that good. 0.3 yards per play better than average. Normally that Wisconsin defense is elite. That is not the case this year with the new coaching staff. They were lucky to cover the spread, maybe even win the game against Georgia Southern. They got outgained and were plus six in turnovers. Then against Purdue, they seemingly won that game pretty easily, but they were outgained by Purdue yards and yards per play, outgained by the Boilermakers in that game, plus two in turnovers. Some questionable refereeing instant replay calls, if I recall. They lost to Washington State. They're just not a good team, and Rutgers is solid. Not great offensively, but solid on defense. And offensively, when they can run the ball, they've been okay. And they prefer to run the ball. And Wisconsin is 0.5 yards per rushing play worse than average defending the run. And when Rutgers has played teams, they couldn't move the ball against Michigan because Michigan stopped the run. But the games they've played against teams that are average or worse defending the run, they've scored 24 against Northwestern, 36 against Temple, and 35 points against Virginia Tech. So they can score some points when they can run the ball effectively, and I think they'll be able to do that here. So I think getting now 13 or 13 and a half, it's sort of in between. 13 or more on Rutgers is a play for me.
All right, Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, taking the points versus Wisconsin. Sunge, copyright Christopher Felica on Rutgers. All right, now you have an NFL play, and I'm anxious to hear your dissertation on this. What do you like here?
Well, Atlanta's looked really bad on offense the last 2 weeks, and that's sort of a reason to play them here. NFL teams that score single digits in back-to-back weeks tend to be pretty good. And this is, you know, Atlanta's offense is predicated on running the ball. When they can't run the ball, the play action does, or nothing works for them if they can't run the ball. The last 2 weeks, when they scored just 13 total points, they've gone against Detroit and Jacksonville. Both of those teams rank in the top three in run defense success rate. So it just was not a good matchup. The Texans' run defense is 29th in our ratings. And the Falcons should be able to get, run the ball and get back on track in general. Also, Desmond Ridder, the quarterback, is much better in zone coverage. His yards per pass attempt against zone is 34% higher than it is versus man defenses. So he is a zone quarterback. Houston plays zone defense 86% of the time, which is the fourth highest rate in the league. So it's a really good matchup for Atlanta. Plus the tight ends should get open, and Atlanta likes to go to their tight ends. They have two good tight ends. They target tight ends a league leading 37% of the time, and the Texans allow 58% success rates to tight ends. So it's a good matchup for Atlanta's offense. And as I mentioned, teams that have struggled offensively back-to-back weeks tend to do good. Those teams are 49, 18, and 2 against the spread. Teams that scored 9 or less in consecutive weeks, 49, 18, and 2 against the spread the last 15 years. And 59% of those games go over. So it's a case of the offense rebounding. And I think the situation is really good for them to rebound here. So I like Atlanta here. Plus Texas's offense They like to run the ball. They're fourth in the league in situation-adjusted run play rate, so they like to run the ball. Falcons defense leads the league in expected points added per rush, -0.2 for points every time you try to run it against Atlanta. So I think it's a really good matchup spot, and our model favors the Falcons by 4.7. So yeah. Atlanta's, what are they now, -1.5. So a good play on Atlanta at minus 2.5 or less, actually.
That is I will admit, that is a compelling argument. And I realize this is a game where Desmond Ridder is not required to do as much based on what you just said, the running game emphasized, as well as passing to tight ends. But where do you have Desmond Ridder sort of in your quarterback ranking system? Where do you have him?
not bottom, but bottom half. Solidly in the bottom half.
Okay.
I mean, he tends to play better at home. In his career in Cincinnati, he never lost a home game. And last year, he never lost a home game. I think he's lost one this year. But in general, he tends to play better at home anyway. So I think it's a pretty good setup for Ridder here, especially with the tight ends getting open and being able to run the ball. So we'll see. But I think I like Atlanta.
Let me ask you this. This was something I asked of Dr. Eric Eager on the podcast yesterday. We'll have to get you back on the podcast too, Dr. Bob. But what teams in the NFL thus far through 4 weeks have sort of flummoxed you the most? Meaning you just don't have a real good read on them, or your projections of them, pardon me, haven't manifested in quite the way you would have thought they would.
That's a tough question. I would say, I guess Kansas City's not as good as I thought they'd be. Not as good as the model thought they'd be. And the Chargers are a team that's frustrating because they are a good team. they just don't get it done. And it's like, you guys are a good team. Like, you know, I don't understand. You know, and they actually still rank ninth in my ratings, you know, even though they've struggled.
That's where I had them. Ninth. It's exactly where I had them. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, get it together. And I do think they're going to end up being a good team. So we'll see. I think going down the road, it'll be fine.
I had them 10th, just to be clear. But it's nice, I guess what's nice about that, Bob, and I mean this in a good way, not in any sort of, tongue-in-cheek way. It's nice to know that someone who is knee-deep in analytics has the same frustrations with that team as those of us who might not be as immersed in them. They're just frustrating no matter how you slice, you know, this one up. So that's
it's one of those situations where, I mean, if you just look at this year only, they're in the middle of the pack. They're half a point better than an average team in advance in predictive metrics. This year only, they've played worse than that on the scoreboard, it seems. But going forward, they should be, you know, 10th, 9th, 10th rated team in the league. We'll see. I think the market still thinks they will be. So I'm not saying anything that, you know, the whole market doesn't already think. I think the market has them right around where I do.
What could go wrong? Bob, thank you.
You could outgain your opponent by 155 yards and lose the game. That could go wrong.
You
in
could
sports
do
betting.
That.
Yeah, well, it does.
Jason Weingarten is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use promo code VEGAS. When you sign up DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. George Zornick, he's asking about what I talked about in the first segment. He goes, hypothetically then, if this was a 1 p.m. Sunday game and the Bears game ended at 3:58 Eastern, while, say, the Panthers won at 4:01, also a winner? Yes. And Jeffrey Benson jumps in there and shows him the word-for-word rules on this. Again, that's when it says last winner, unlike some other sports books, they actually take their things literally, right? It's last win. So it is sort of counterintuitive. Even Kelly and I, like when I brought this up Monday, I was like, wait, does this mean that if Chicago wins on Thursday, I win my Panthers bet?
We kind of both jumped to assuming that and then kind of thought more about it afterward.
And I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because exactly what the scenario we just heard, because if this team ends at 3:58, no, that's how they graded here. How they graded elsewhere, totally could be totally different.
It's an interesting house rules thing to me because it is, I think it, I don't have a problem either way with either, you know, a sports book doing it, handling it either way. It's just right. Like you say, you just got to make sure this stuff is, hey, if you're betting on this stuff, make sure you know these kind of rules. If you get, especially getting a week like this.
And then dueling survivor opinions. This is from Brett Liedtke. He says saving optimal teams in survivor for down the road isn't the best strategy because the odds of a 10-point favorite losing in week 15 are equivalent to that of a 10-point favorite losing in week 5. Thanksgiving Day week not included. That must be planned for. Well, that's what I'm talking about, Brett, that I'm not playing Detroit because of Thanksgiving primarily. And again, no one is focusing on the fact that if I had 4 weeks where I was set up well, you play that different for the 4 weeks if you're not set up well. And I was chalk McChalkerson the whole way through. So that's why I played the way I played. Todd at Canarsie Born 65. Gil, been in Survivor for a long time and play it just like you. Here's why we play it right. Last year, we lost with the Bills versus Jacksonville, and the year before with the Rams versus the Jets. Both were late-season games. I submit that over 90% of people would have wanted our position. Of course they would have. Of course they would have. It's not going to always work out that way, though. Yeah. So, anyway, Survivor, everybody's got their thoughts, and I hope that you are still alive in Survivor and you can get to the promised land. But like I said, I ain't got nothing to be upset about with Carolina being the last winless team. Let's go under a cloud of smoke, Southern California, with Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia, who was the first person among many to warn me yesterday. Gil, Dick Butkus died. You can't possibly play Washington. Jason Weingarten joins us now. How you doing, Jason?
Yeah, that's it's funny how that worked out. I don't know how much credit you can give to Dick Butkus or Dick Butkus dying, but that's you know the
yeah. Dick Butkus did. Won my Carolina bet for me. That's what it came down to. Thank you, Dick Butkus. RIP, by the way.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. Okay. So you also got, like, literally, because Kelly was asking about this, because I mentioned this, that you had texted this earlier. This is, like, tell me the truth. How much do you firmly believe in superstitions like that, where you're like, I got to get off my Washington bet? You literally got off your Washington bet as soon as you heard that. Do you believe in stuff like that?
Well, I mean, it's like the whole thing about like gamblers aren't superstitious. And then like you ever hang out with somebody and they're like, you can't do that. You can't sit there. You can't say that. You know,
Jason, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Even Dr. Bob, who we just have on, Dr. Bob is the most model driven numbers robot you will ever meet in your life. And I swear he was like on a 5 or 6 game winning streak in the NBA. One day we went to this place called, a Blue Barn in San Francisco, which has the most overpriced salads in the world, by the way. Shout out to Blue Barn. And we were sitting in the corner. I was on the right, he was on the left. And then one day he had a 5-game winning streak. I had the audacity to sit in the other. He goes, no, just sit over there. That's Bob. That's awesome. So, I mean, you're 100% right, Jason, in that respect. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you ask every guest on your show, they'll have a story like that about doing something or, you know, something they won't do. I don't know. I mean, I thought Washington was the right side last night. I saw a lot of the bets I saw were all in Washington, you know, Washington -5.5. So I don't know. I mean, I don't really think Dick Butkus had anything to do with anything, but I was like, yeah, I'm gonna buy off this game. I went out to dinner.
Good for you.
I did fall. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, well, I didn't watch the game. I did follow almost the whole game on the live box score.
Yeah.
As most people do.
Wish I had done that. Watched every damn play. Okay. But first of all, what's your favorite, before we get to baseball, real quick, what's your favorite NFL bet this weekend? Do you have one?
Not much NFL, but I did bet some college this morning.
Oh, what'd you get?
A couple college plays I like. Real big on Arkansas this week. Arkansas versus Ole Miss getting 11.5 points. Ole Miss played Alabama and LSU back to back, which is pretty tough back to back week schedule. Now they got to cover 11.5 points. If you saw the last game, the LSU game last weekend, it was like, you know, your Plinko kind of thing, back forth, back forth, back forth, just so much scoring. I think Ole Miss probably gonna be a little tired this week. You get 12, it's showing on the screen. I think Ole Miss probably wins, but I'll take 12 points with Arkansas, you know, coming off the Alabama LSU back to back.
All right.
I think it's a good spot.
You had Jason Weingart with an SEC play on their bingo card today.
I am.
Mark it down. All right. Major League Baseball division round. I was joking earlier. It seems like it's been a week since the wild card round. Once a football game hits, you just forget baseball. Not you, though. What are your thoughts on all four of these series? Have you made bets on all?
I bet the Orioles series price -130. It was -130, I think.
Wait, -130
Rangers.
-130 was the game one price. They were more of a coin flip on the series, weren't they?
They got up to about -130. I see 125 right now.
Right now. Okay. Earlier they were, right?
You got the fire alarm going off again.
Oh, you noticed. I was trying to act like I didn't notice. All right, go ahead. What else? What else you got?
Yeah. Let's see what else. I have not bet Twins Astros series. I think the Astros probably win that in the end. I hopefully get an Orioles Astros ALCS. I'm thinking about laying the Dodgers. Haven't done that yet. I think the Dodgers sweep, honestly. I'm looking for some Dodgers win 3-0 props. And Phillies Braves. I can't convince myself to lay either side of the series price. Mm. I don't think the Braves necessarily win this.
Yeah, it's baseball, man. And the Phillies are good.
Everyone keeps, that's the thing. They're the defending World Series champions. They're great. They might run through the playoffs. They very well might run through the playoffs. They very well might, lose this series to the Phillies. Phillies aren't bad. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the Phillies just because they didn't win the division.
Yeah, and we've said it a million times. It's the most random of postseasons. It is. I mean,
any one of these eight teams can conceivably win the World Series or end up in the World Series. Maybe not the Twins, but hell, even the Twins, I mean, like nothing wrong with them. They got three good pitchers. They made it to the playoffs. Nobody really challenged them in their own division. It's a decent team.
Yeah, we had Joe Sheehan on yesterday, Jason. He said Twins over the Dodgers in the World Series. So
that probably pays a big price if you're going to bet that.
Yeah. Who do you have in the World Series? What's your exacta?
Baltimore Dodgers. Baltimore over Dodgers, Dodgers over Baltimore.
That's right. You have both of them. Okay.
Haven't added anything else to that yet. I was thinking of maybe adding like a Philly versus Baltimore or something. It's crazy to think I'm very sold on Baltimore potentially being a World Series team, coming off wasn't very long ago. They were losing 100 games a season. Oh,
trust me. I know. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I grew up on this team. Even I don't buy into their pitching this year. I think they're like a year away, but anything could happen for sure. So let me just repeat. So no series play on the Phillies and the Braves, but you took the favorite in the other three, meaning the Orioles, the Astros, and who am I forgetting? And the Dodgers. Did you play any game ones tomorrow?
No game ones yet. Thinking about betting the Dodgers. I really think the Dodgers kind of roll over the Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks have done well to get here. I think they're a good team. I still just don't think they're going to match up against Dodgers here.
Are you going to play? You could be wrong. We all could be wrong. Are you going to play your blanket? Yes. First inning run scored in all four.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not. I've not had a chance yet to see prices and everything. I won't get to that till tomorrow. But it seems to be the way to go still.
Okay. Jason Weingarten, Major League Baseball quadruple header tomorrow. Then we play two games a day until Wednesday, when we'll have our last quadruple header, a couple game threes and a couple game fours. And then it's double headers from that point forward. Looking forward to it, man. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
See you next week. Should be fun. It's always fun when you get these individual games and they start to matter.
Oh, it's awesome. Nothing like October. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia, by the way, on the Twitter machine, who has been on fire, by the way, let me just say, on Twitter. Some tweets I can't repeat. Others, I'm going to use my discretion not to. How about that? Kelly's alternate season win totals in the NBA. More NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19. That's it, $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets. I only want to read a few of these because I want to get to Kelly's alternate season win totals in the NBA and more NFL. Paul Zhang, did Matt find out your sushi spot and get banned from his Friday appearance? No, he just couldn't make it today. Why couldn't he make it?
I don't know.
Because today was both chest and legs day?
I actually don't know about today. Yeah. I did get a heads up from him, though, last week that he wasn't going to be here. So I don't know if he's out of town or...
We didn't pry. We did not pry. Mike Stacks, I feel good about losing on Survivor. I lost last year with the Bears beating the Patriots, and now I lose with the Bears ending a 14-game losing streak. Thank you, Chicago. Good for Eberflus. By the way, I should say that, right? Like, all the stuff, betting implications aside. Good for the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Good for Matt Eberflus. Good for everybody in that organization who has taken a lot of incoming.
In, you know, I said it first segment, but it's I mean, gosh, you watch that offense last night and you're like, okay, this is how this should operate more. Like, Justin Fields is clearly way more comfortable out of the shot. Like, this is way more of a sports talk radio thing. I don't want to go there, but like, these quarterbacks don't take snaps from under center anymore. And then we act all shocked when they struggle, when they get to the NFL level where that's expected out of them. Fields just looks 10 times more comfortable back there doing, doing read option stuff out of the shotgun.
It's like, I can't discuss it though, without saying again, how absolutely unacceptable that defensive performance was from Washington.
Yep.
Can't rush the passer. Getting gashed on third and sevens on the ground, receivers behind him, taking risks on the corner that always seem to get there. Anyway, let's stop. Last one, New Jersey, New York, GV. Regarding this house rules discussion, favorite thing I've ever seen in a sports book in my life was a guy who got screwed on the infamous baseball score at the end of the last completed inning rule. Guy started a fight in the sports book, like a manager trying to get himself tossed. It's like Earl Weaver out there.
I responded to that tweet, like, were they kicking, like, was it a spilled ashtray kicking ash at each other like other shits?
I would love to see that. Oh, look, it's Earl Weaver. Okay, Kelly, you wrote for the NBA betting guide, among other things you did, because we had a alternate season win totals discussion in the NFL, and we talked about how it's still the best betting vehicle there is. And you did a little research on the NBA side of things, and you came up with some plays.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go through this a little bit quicker because we got some NFL still to get to. All of this is in the NBA betting guide. Just wanted to go through some numbers. There are some shops, DraftKings being one of them, that have started to post all win totals in the NBA.
Good on DraftKings.
This is not everywhere. There will be limited places that you can find them, but they have posted all win totals, and I just pulled it up right now. It looks like, you know, they've got one. I'll bring up the Suns real quick. 51.5, overs -120, unders even money. You can then slot that about four wins higher or four wins lower. Okay. Like, so you're getting a lot of about nine different options on wins that you can bet on these teams. So all he did was did some simple math going back the past few years in the NBA, went back past three full seasons. So we didn't have a COVID affected season, at least not too much involved. And we talk about this all the time with the NFL, right, Gil? How often at the end of the season are the wins way off from where the preseason win total was? So I broke it down for the NBA. Number of teams with win totals off by three or more wins. That happened 21 teams a year ago. So over two-thirds of the league, the win totals are three or more wins off of. 21 teams last year, 22 teams the year before that, 19 teams the year before that. Okay, let's increase it. How many are off by five-plus wins? It was 17. Over half the league last year, the win totals were off by five or more wins by what they actually ended up being. 11 the year before that, 14 the year before that. This is all to just go back to what we always talk about, and that the proof is there of why there is value in betting these alternate win totals. And in the NBA, even more, when you're talking about five plus wins and you have the options at some of these books to select that many more, it's almost an auto bet to either sprinkle on a win total bet or to bet instead of.
And I'm not trying to diminish this in any way. None of this should be surprising, right?
No.
Because there's 82 games. So to be off by three or five is nothing when you compare it to like three games in the NFL in 17.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You can extrapolate what that would really mean in the NBA. And I stopped at five because that's really the only options that you could bet on. But okay, if half the league is hitting at five plus wins, sure, there was a ton of teams that are off by 15, 20 wins. So anyway, it's a long way of saying, hey, there's a lot out there with a lot of value that if you have the option to bet these, if you're an NBA win total bettor already, you should absolutely be adding these to your portfolio as well. Some of the ones I'll just go through quickly, some of the ones that I would hit. And I'm hoping some of the shops here in Vegas open these up because I would like to bet them right now.
They will eventually.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, yeah. I just don't have any access to them. So I did bet the Nuggets under 53.5. If you went down to, if you went over to DraftKings, took that down to under 50.5, that takes it to plus 215. I would certainly add that along. The Bulls is an under I played this year, 37.5. I think there's a lot of questions of what that team's going to do with some of their star pieces. I bet the under 37.5, take that down to 34.5. That hits at plus 180. Raptors under 36.5, take it down to 32.5. That's plus 205. Hornets is one I threw on there just of a, that's a team I would just play the alt on. I think there is a chance that Miles Bridges comes back to this team. This team actually takes a huge step forward this year. I would just play the alt on that alt over 35.5 plus 250. Another way with all the options you get at DraftKings are to win these X amount of games plus, right?
I like that.
Pelicans are another team. I wouldn't be playing over or under what their regular win total is because we hit on, you know, I was obsessed with this team last year, Gil, when Zion was in the lineup. And when they were playing well, you're talking about a top six team offensively and defensively by the time Christmas hit with Zion in the lineup. So if Zion's there and healthy, this team can be really good. So if he's not, they're going to be a lot what you saw last year. So if I'm betting an over, the only way I'm betting over is an alt over and get the bang for your buck.
The bang for your buck is everything. I did it with the Giants and Washington in alternate season win totals this year in the NFL. If you're going to have your money tied up, it's the old macroeconomics 101, an opportunity cost. So you can't use that money to make other bets.
Right.
You want bang for your buck if you're going to wait that long. You really do. By the way, this text in from Steve Fezzik, I just want to point this out. Steve Fezzik says, I've never seen you look like this without a reason. Another promise fallen through. Another season passes by you. Don't those sound like a song? He does. He says, opening lyrics from the song Big Country sums up one's feelings when eliminated from Survivor. I'm like, like, at first I was like, really? Do I not look this bad? Oh, it's a song. Okay, NFL.
NFL.
By the way, all of that in the NBA betting
guide. All of that in the NBA guide. I go through it a little bit more thoroughly. So, yes, download it now. Get it right now at VSiN.com.
All right. Jets at Broncos. Broncos favored by 2.5. I like the Jets as a teaser leg.
That's the only way I could go in that game.
Yeah. Kansas City at Minnesota. The Chiefs down to a 3.5-point favorite here.
Vikings taking a lot of sharp action, if you will. I know.
who is like, I gotta bet the Vikings?
Well, I think there's, you know, you look at the turnover, you know, unluck they've had so far in the red zone. I get it. Chiefs, I think you could talk about a little bit like we were talking about the Eagles earlier, right? Like, they're winning games. How many are they looking that impressive in, though? That offense is still trying to find a groove. I think this is a stay away for me.
Total stay away.
If this hit three, would you jump in on Kansas City?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Without question.
I think I will too, lightly, but I don't think.
Get it. All the things you're saying about the Chiefs, I totally get, but it's like, I wouldn't rush to bet the Vikings either. Maybe. Right. Sunday night is the marquee matchup of the weekend. Cowboys at Niners. Now, like with Houston, Atlanta and Tennessee, Indianapolis, I feel like I'm opposite everybody. So we had, again, Megapod shout, beating the book of Megapod, where all podcasts are distributed. Eric Eager, the guest with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and I this week. We had a couple people that were on the Cowboys plus 3.5. It's now 3 on the Niners. I bet the Niners minus 3. And I feel, again, like I'm oppo some experts out there. But I just don't feel like I can trust the Cowboys in this situation. So I'm on the Niners.
I get it. If it was, if I didn't have to pay for the 3, I'd probably be on the 49ers. This line's dead on to me. This is kind of like the early London game.
Yeah.
I probably got the 49ers was 1 point better than the Cowboys. Okay. They're laying 4 at home. Makes sense.
And by the way, Monday night, the line reflects this, but the answer to the question, which game would you want no part of? Packers Raiders is about as good as an answer for me as any.
I think the Packers might end up as my second leg in that teaser.
Really?
Yeah, now that it's swung back to the Raiders
I don't hate a teaser.
Yeah. Now that it's swung back to the Raiders being the small favorites in that game, I might end up playing that.
So it's Titans, Texans, Cardinals, and Niners as far as bets I actually have in the account. And let me just repeat what I said at the very, very top of the show, which is I feel less confident about this week than I have thus far this season.
Okay, I got Colts money line. I would not bet that now, though. That was an opening line bet. I did bet Anthony Richardson anytime touchdown and over his rushing prop, which I like both of those still. And then Ravens laid 4 with them. Cardinals 3.5. We're both on that side together. Yeah. The Bengals Cardinals under 45.
Oh, Cardinals 4. I do love. Let me just repeat that. Best bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.